We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program from the Amira Astronomy Center at the University of Maine, our friend Sean Latch. Sean, welcome.
Great to be back.
And welcome back from some travel. You were on the road a bit.
Yeah. Had some business overseas with the International Planetarium Society over in Iceland and a little bit of holiday before that in Denmark and the Netherlands.
Very nice. And now you're back just in time for probably one of the busiest stretches of the year with everything going on to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11.
Yeah, right. July definitely is Moon Month at the planetarium. We have our regular Friday night show is called Dawn of the Space Age, which looks at the history of space flight from Sputnik through modern space flight. And our children's program on Sunday afternoons, Fly Me to the Moon for Little Kids, which takes them on a journey with some flies that hitched a ride aboard Apollo to actually go to the moon as well. So it's kind of a fun show for children. And we have a huge celebration for the 50th anniversary coming up on July 20th, which is the actual anniversary of the landing date. We're doing this program called The Moon, Mars, and Maine, which takes a look at Maine's connection to space exploration, looking back at the anniversary of the moon flight, but then the next steps to going on to Mars as well. So we'll be doing tours on campus of the Lunar Habitat Module, also the Advanced Composite and Structure Center with the HIAD, which is a device for landing payload packages on Mars. We'll have a special keynote speaker, Dr. George Nelson, who is the director of the International Space Station's Office of Technology and a former UMaine alumni from engineering, which is great. He'll be doing a keynote talk that day, and then special planetarium programs throughout the day as well, and hands-on activities with the Challenger Learning Center, including a disc of lunar material that we'll have on hand as well. So lots of really cool things on July 20th, of course, for the 50th anniversary.
And I would think if people want to make sure they get there, it'd be a good idea to reserve a spot early.
Definitely. That anniversary event, we are limited to 200 people because of the tours. And there'll be several sort of stations people will be rotating through, and it's a day-long activity. But do check and get your tickets early because, again, we are limited to 200 maximum for that, just given capacities of all the different places on campus that we'll be using. And then, of course, we're also doing Dark Side of the Moon for a music program.
Yes.
During the month of July as well. So, like I said, all things moon for July is definitely the big theme.
Now, you're going to link up a little Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz and see if we can get those to match up?
I was going to say that would be kind of fun. Yeah. But, the Dark Side show, I think folks will really get a kick out of it. It is a lot of fun of course, going back to the classic music of that and then just sort of linking into the celebration. We might have a few surprises there too with the anniversary of the moon. So,
even though technically speaking, Dark Side of the Moon is a misnomer.
Yes. Technically it is. We always say that there is no dark side. There's the far side and the near side, and they go through light and dark depending on day and night cycles.
Now, also, we're not done with the month of June yet, and you've got some activities that are coming up here in the next couple of days as well that people can still get to.
Yeah, we're finishing up June, of course. Tomorrow night, we have our final showing of Incoming, which takes a look at how they've changed our environment and what we can learn from them and also preparing for future ones. That's narrated by George Takei from Star Trek fame, so it's a lot of fun. Also, tomorrow night, the last showing of Queen, which is our music show for the month of June, and then finishing up with Cell, Cell, Cell on Sunday, which is our children's program this month that looks at cells in the human body. And does that. And of course, we do have our ongoing summer matinee programs at 2 o'clock Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays during the summer season as well.
What's in the works for the coming school year? Anything you can give us a little sneak preview of?
We do have some new shows coming in. One is going to be called Lucia and the Mystery of Shooting Stars, which is geared for younger children, but it takes a look at, basically meteors. And also, we'll talk a little bit about the aurora. We also will have a new Halloween show in for this year, which will take a look at a variety of Halloween traditions and how some things in space are kind of tied to spooky skies in certain ways. So those are a couple fun things coming up. And there's a new program about the sun that we'll be having as well. So a couple new things. And I'm really hopeful. While I was in Iceland for this conference, I saw a program there on aurora. And I've been trying to talk with the planetarium there in Iceland called Perlon to see if we might be able to bring that show to our facility. So trying to see if we can find some sponsorship and make that happen. because it's sort of a special program in a variety of ways. And I think it would work out well here, especially given that we do get aurora on occasion. And it has a variety of legends and mythology about aurora in the program. And I really was a really beautiful program. I was really inspired by it. So I'd love to bring it to Maine.
Oh, that sounds great. Sean Lash is with us here from Amera Astronomy Center. What have we got coming up for celestial events in the month of July?
So there's actually a lunar eclipse happening on July, or excuse me, solar eclipse happening on July 1st. However, we are not positioned in a good place to see it. You'll have to be in Chile to see the eclipse.
Oh, well.
So we'll miss it up here.
Can we get a van from the university?
Yeah, it would be nice. Yeah, drive all the way down. That would be a long, long drive. But yes, there is a solar eclipse. It's a relatively short one. I think it's about only a minute and a half of totality, so a relatively quick one. But that is sort of coming up. Currently, right now, we have Jupiter and Saturn in our evening sky as soon as it gets dark. Jupiter will be almost, be in the southeast right at sunset. And by about 11 o'clock, it'll be almost directly south. And Saturn, just a little bit too lower on the horizon in the southeast at sunset. And you really want to wait till about 11 to really have it up above the horizon. So some nice planets right now in our sky after sunset. And
our friend Jerry Montour, we've talked about his beautiful photos. Mm-hmm. He sent us his new book, Scudic, and check out the photo there that he took of it.
That is really nice, really beautiful.
What are we looking at there?
So both of those are Milky Way shots in summertime, and the one shot here, you basically have it rising up over the water, which is right around the early evening, and then this other shot on the side here, you're really looking at it as it's early in the morning as the Milky Way, at least during the summer season, where it's almost, pointing straight up.
So how much of the galaxy are we seeing in a shot like that?
So I always tell folks, whenever you're looking at the night sky, you're always seeing basically all the stars we see are in the Milky Way. But the hazy band that we call the Milky Way basically is looking along the plane of the galaxy where there's the thickest concentration of stars. When you look towards Scorpius, which is visible right away after sunset tonight, in between Scorpius and Sagittarius, right after sunset tonight, you're looking in towards the center of the galaxy. And then we're basically seeing the northern stretch of it, if you will. So from that area, and then heading up towards Cassiopeia, basically you have this band, which is the thick concentration. We can't see the whole galaxy, of course, from where we are, because there's a portion of it that's below our horizon in the southern hemisphere. So you'd actually have to fly off the Earth to see the entire sort of plane. But all the stars we see are part of it. It's just that hazy band is more looking at the plane of the galaxy where there's the real thick concentration of stars, if you will.
Excellent. This big anniversary, everybody's talking about it. I just saw the other day. I think this is so cool. CBS News, I don't think it's going to be on television, but on their website will be airing in actual real time the Walter Cronkite broadcast starting, I think, from the time of the launch. So 3-4 days ahead of the 20th and airing that nonstop.
That sounds great. Yeah, I hadn't heard about that, but that does sound like something really cool to watch, because I know it took about 3.5 days to get to the moon. So there's definitely, and they were actually, I was watching this program, Chasing the Moon, right now. We had a preview last night at the planetarium with Maine Public. They have a documentary series called Chasing the Moon, which is going to start playing, I think, on July 8th, if I remember correctly. But it's a multi-part documentary. And one of the pieces they had was showing the clip that they showed last night was looking at all the work that CBS put into doing this, because at the time they actually had to recreate a lot of it doing simulations, and they would have simulation on the screen, but they had to do all this stuff because it was before we had, live footage of everything. We have some live footage, of course, but then as missions went on, they got more and more and had more cameras that they attached, and were able to get more footage. But it was kind of interesting to see some of that. In fact, they even hired one of the guys who did 2001 to help with their graphics and design of stuff, and had a computer that called HAL to help with the descriptions, which was kind of fun too. So it was pretty amazing to see, what types of things the media had to try to do to accommodate as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that it was more, so that they could, try to show it. Which is a big deal.
I was watching the documentary on Apollo 11 that CNN has put together the other night. And what I like about that, there's no narration. It's all natural sound and communications between the NASA folks and the crew of Apollo 11. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing stuff. And maybe what impressed me the most is this, when they're changing the camera and essentially doing the live shot from the moon. I think, take that for granted, how incredible it was mm-hmm. to get that live television transmission
right.
when I can't even get half my cable channels to come in now. But 50 years ago, to be able to do that, that was amazing. And I think without that live television, mm-hmm. I'm not sure the impact would have been quite as great. But when you have
yeah.
you know, 3/4 of the planet watching the same event at the same time.
I have some friends who I got to catch up with from that international group who are in Australia. And, of course, Parks Radio Dish was what mm-hmm. the one that was doing the relays. So they actually got to see it before we did here in the U.S. So pretty amazing to hear some of their stories about it as well in terms of, you know, relaying that information back to Earth and you know, how they were transmitting it. So, yes, it definitely was live television made a huge difference. And really the approach that we had in the U.S., which was so much different than the Russian approach. I mean, they were trying to get there, but they would, you know, broadcast things after because they, you know, they were kind of secretive. If something right. didn't work, they didn't want to, you know, have any of that. So where we took some risks in that, and Kennedy actually decided to take risks and said even when we were, you know, sending the first, you know, sending Alan Shepard up, that he wanted to have it broadcast live. Which was a major deal.
Well, it's an exciting time. We're looking forward to all the celebrations this month. Check out the website for Amira Astronomy Center for more information. And Sean, as always, thanks for filling us in on everything going on, and have an enjoyable month.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me.
We'll see you again soon.
Sounds good.